May it please the Court. Missouri sales tax law plainly levies a tax on all fees paid to or in a place of recreation. And although the AHC in this case found that Powerhouse Gym was a place of recreation and had charged a monthly fee to Custom Built that allowed Custom access to Powerhouse's facility and members so that it could market and sell and provide personal training and other services, the AHC nevertheless found that these fees were not taxable because Powerhouse did not render a taxable service at retail to Custom. This decision was erroneous because the AHC ignored the statute's plain language and unnecessarily construed the sales tax law to derive a meaning from it, contrary to what the statutory language expressly provides. Now, under Section 144.020, it imposes a sales tax on all sellers rendering a taxable service at retail, which is expressly defined to include fees paid to or in any place of recreation. The sale at retail is defined under the sales tax law to include charges and fees in places of recreation. Powerhouse was a seller, as that term is defined under the sales tax law, since it rendered a taxable service as a place of recreation and the receipts from which a tax was imposed under Section 144.020. And this court has held repeatedly that the language of the amusement tax is not qualified or limited in any way and applies to all fees paid to or in places of amusement or recreation.
So if a gym provides space for yoga and the yoga provider pays the gym a couple thousand dollars, that's a sales tax? That would be any kind of a rental of that kind would be a subject to sales tax?
Well, it would all depend on the facts of the case. On this particular facts, you have Powerhouse did not want to provide personal training services to the members because they didn't want the administrative hassle of hiring and supervising these personal trainers.
What if they had just rented the space for something other than providing that sort of service? What if they just rented the space because they wanted extra income and wanted a tenant and had a room that was no longer being used?
Right. If it was a pure rental or lease of real property, there would be no sales tax.
But isn't that what the commission found in this case? I mean, isn't that what they determined that it was?
No.
As a matter of fact?
No. They used the phrase rental income because that's how Powerhouse described it in its financial records. But the AHC did not base its decision on that this was just the lease of real property. They sidestepped that issue, and I think because the way the record bears out in this case, it really wasn't a lease of real property.
Well, what other services were provided in addition to the rental space? What else was provided to the tenant?
Custom. Custom had basically exclusive access to market, sell, and provide personal training, nutritional, and there might have been some other services, to only Powerhouse Gym members and use Powerhouse's facility, fitness equipment, to provide those services. And they paid $6,000 a month for a room, an office that was, according to the record, a quarter of the size of the AHC hearing room. And if
you're saying they paid more than the reasonable rental value, so they must have been getting something else for it.
Well, I think that it's a fair assumption from the record.
Was there any evidence of any other comparable rentals? I mean, was that the going rate, or was there any other evidence of comparable situations?
No, Your Honor.
What if they rented this same space for a place to set up like smoothies and protein drinks? Instead of giving personal training services in the same space, they had a little bar set up where they served protein and health drinks. Paid $6,000 a month for rent. What's the difference?
I'm not sure that would be a difference. If they were selling.
So you would say that even though it was clearly that was they paid rent for that space to sell protein drinks or whatever, you think that's
inside the facility to those members, not to sell to the general public,
not
but
to
sell
public.
Those members under that restriction. And I guess it would depend on what kind of fee that the.
Well, it was just like this one. It was $6,000 for the same space, and instead of providing personal training services, they had smoothies and health drinks.
I mean, you look at it this way: if Powerhouse would have done that themselves, and there have been some cases where part of what some of these gyms offer is drinks and smoothies and things like that, and sales tax would be collected on that as. And food might be a
but it wouldn't be sales tax.
It would be collected
rent.
On the drinks. It wouldn't be collected on the rent, would it?
Right.
No, sales tax on the rent.
Yeah. What if they rented the same space?
This case is about the rent, not what custom charged the people who were working out. Right.
Right. And that I think is what led the AAC to reach the wrong conclusion in this case. The AAC started looking at. Well, why should Powerhouse pay sales tax on this fee? Now, if Powerhouse would have provided these services and charged its members, they would have had to pay. They shouldn't be allowed to avoid. They would pay sales tax or collect and remit sales
so
tax.
So if Powerhouse decided to pay, they give smoothies out, have a counter where they figured, well, we'll make some money, we'll sell smoothies to the
they would collect
or milkshakes or ice cream.
But the charges that Custom was charging the clients, I assume those charges were subject to sales tax?
And that's the assumption that I
Is that
believe.
An evidence?
There's no evidence. All we know is I think that the general manager of Powerhouse made an assumption or at least made a statement that, well, that was their problem. That was them that if they wanted to collect sales tax. And I think that's the assumption that the AHC.
There was just no audit made of Custom, well, right?
No, this does not involve an audit of Custom.
But they are offering a service at retail in a place of amusement. Custom to the people who are working out.
Right.
Okay. So what's the service at retail that Powerhouse rendered to Custom?
Well, it's giving them this access to the facility, the use of the facility.
That's not a service at retail.
It is because it's a charge paid to or in a place of recreation.
Well, and I think the difference is who's using the equipment and using the facility. You're saying they didn't just run a room and whatever would happen in that room if it could be charged. You're saying that gave them access to the whole facility. They went around with their clients to the machines, gave them advice about using the machines. They didn't simply gain access through their rent to a particular portion of the building, but access to the entire building just because they had an office in one part. They used the whole thing, but it wasn't theirs. They were using it to provide. The service they bought was access to the customers and the equipment, whether they used it themselves or for their clients.
Right. Well, the record shows Custom didn't use it for their own personal.
Right.
But they used it to provide and to sell and to market these services to other, to the Powerhouse gym members, only the Powerhouse gym members.
And absent the equipment, they couldn't have provided there. They wouldn't have a business.
No.
Custom paid income tax on the $6,000, or at least reported it, both federal and state. Are you saying they shouldn't have?
No. Income tax is a wholly separate thing.
So they could have been liable for income tax and sales tax?
Oh, yeah. Sure. And that happens all the time.
They reported it as rental income, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's how they put it in there. Now, whether that is or not, that's a legal conclusion that they just because their records show now, that.
Well, it might show that they thought it was rental income.
I mean, and they were real adamant about it at the hearing, which mm-hmm. I think they knew what the situation was at the hearing. If it's rental of real property, it's not going to be subject to sales
tax.
Well,
Starbucks has facilities in every airport and every hotel. And granted, it's not too much space, but the amount of rent they pay is probably pretty high. They should be getting sales tax from Starbucks and hotels, airports, when they're selling coffee, and then collecting sales tax from that. Wouldn't it transform the commercial enterprise dramatically? There's a lot of big box stores that have a paint department, which is someone else's paints being sold, but they sort of rent the space and sell it, let's say, at a big box store. Wouldn't it transform the entire commercial enterprise?
The difference in this case, and what makes it peculiar, is because we're dealing with a place of recreation
or amusement. So what if I want to have one of these little food trailers, and Worlds of Fun, I can rent space at Worlds of Fun for $6,000 a month. Do they have, and it's clear that there's a rental agreement that says you can put your trailer, your food trailer here for $6,000 a month. You're saying they would have to pay sales tax on that. I mean, that's the way I understand your
argument. The Worlds of Fun and collecting that fee, since it was a fee paid in or to a place of amusement in that case, under those limited facts, it would seem that yes, that would be taxable, because what we're dealing with here, though food's not a real good example, because we know sales tax is collected on food.
Okay, I'll sell souvenirs. I'll sell souvenirs on my space that I rent.
And that's tangible personal property.
Yeah. So I realize that as the vendor, I would be responsible for sales tax. But you're suggesting that in addition to that, Worlds of Fun would be responsible for sales tax for my
rental space. For renting the space to
And that's where this example doesn't work with this case, because the place of recreation here was Powerhouse Gym, not Custom. And as we see from I think it was a 2010 case, Michael Joudas, Fitness Edge, there was an issue in that case about Michael Joudas was a personal trainer, and he would go to different gyms and give personal training to people. He did not pay sales tax on the fees that he charged. But then he decided he wanted to open up his own gymnasium and charge an hourly rate to provide personal training services in his own gym. He created a place of recreation. Then his fees and charges were subject to sales tax. He claimed in that case, in Fitness Edge, that violated the uniformity clause in Missouri's Constitution regarding taxation, because personal trainers that did not operate a place of recreation were not subject to sales tax, but he was. And this court said very perfunctorily that, well, you operate a place of recreation, and by the plain language of the statute, you're subject to sales tax on the fees you charge. Custom did not operate a place of recreation, and it is my understanding that it would be treated as an independent contractor, like a personal trainer that would have come from anywhere else and come in and had a client that was a Powerhouse Gym member.
It's a fee to or in the place of amusement. So how do you import there that the taxpayer has to be the owner or operator?
Well, that the taxpayer is the seller. As far as the director of revenue is concerned, the seller is the place of amusement for sales tax purposes, or the place of recreation. If Custom or these independent contractors that provide personal training services, they don't operate a physical place of recreation or amusement.
But it's a fee paid to or in.
To or in a place of recreation, requiring a place.
So you're saying it's your interpretation that the personal trainers who come in do not have to pay sales tax on the services they provide the clients there. And that's how you avoid the double taxation.
Right. That's how the director is operating, and that's how the... In Fitness Edge,
did this court hold that you owed, that the independent contractors did not owe sales tax on?
No, the court didn't, because that wasn't an issue. It was basically agreed that the director was not collecting sales tax from independent contractor physical fitness providers, but it was collecting sales tax from physical trainers who decided to open their own gymnasium and provide.
Would there be a double taxation issue if at both levels sales tax were collected, both from the owner of the gym to the independent contractors and the independent contractors for the services to the individuals?
Well, that issue hasn't arisen because no one's tried to do that. The director's not tried to do that. Any further questions?
Right. You have 3 minutes on rebuttal.
Judge, may I make a quick statement that last Saturday, Judge Michael Calvin, who served the courts of the state of Missouri for 30 years with distinction and with wisdom, passed away. And I just wanted to make note of that on the record, that we lost a great jurist in Michael Calvin. Thank you.
May it please the court.
You may proceed.
My name is Paul Boudreaux. I represent taxpayer Tatson LLC. It's doing business as Powerhouse Gym in Joplin. I must say, the more I hear about the state's theory on taxation here, the more confused I get about this case, because it seems fairly simple to me. I think I want to just kind of go back to the basics, and I think this case turns on the standard of review before the court. With all due respect, I do think that the Administrative Hearing Commissioner, Mr. Dandamundi, concluded that the payments that my client was receiving during the audit period, the $6,000 per month, was rent. That's in the order. I think that's a factual finding on the part of the commissioner.
But it wasn't rent just for the office. It gave them the right to use the whole facility.
I think
right?
that they were able to go out, demonstrate, work with the gym members on the machinery that's available in
the
larger
gym. Is that relevant
to
whether it's more than a rented real property, it's an effect?
I don't think it really makes a difference, to be honest. As I briefed it, I think it was just a license to use the equipment for which the members have already paid the membership fee to use. And whether or not the trainers were out there demonstrating on the equipment, here's how you use it, here's how I want you to do this particular exercise, I don't think really makes a whole lot of difference. And it kind of goes to the value.
It just brings it beyond real property. And so I guess you're saying it doesn't matter if it goes beyond real property if it's not.
Yeah, it's true. A license is something different than a real property interest. And I briefed that in a footnote in my brief. It's connected to real estate, but it's a notion.
But he did have space
in between.
It was more than a license because he did have office space from which to operate.
They had an exclusive office space which they furnished, that they equipped. They have their own credit card swiping machine. They have their own telephone lines. They paid for.
And he paid $6,000 a month. And if he didn't pay, under rent and possession, they could evict him.
That's right. It was essentially.
They fall under the laws of their hotel.
What if they'd not had an office and just paid for the license to come in and offer their services to?
I'm not sure that would have made much of a difference, and I think that was somewhat touched on in the Jaudis case that my colleague mentioned. And the court, it wasn't really an issue that was directly before the court, but there was an observation in it that the trainer in that case was saying, well, when I was doing this training service elsewhere, I wasn't getting taxed. So now all I have is my own gym, and they're taxing me. And the court said, it's a different situation. I don't know that they really came to. I don't think it was part of the judgment. I don't think it was
an issue that was presented, but
it was a
assumed.
Distinction that the court seemed to recognize in the order that it issued or the opinion that it handed in.
So, are we bound by the fact finder, the AHC, or is it de novo?
I think that you need to defer to the factual. I think the standard is this court defers to the finder of fact unless it's shown to be not supported by the record. There's no, competent and substantial evidence to support the finding, or that the finding is arbitrary or capricious. And I don't think, and I think that's frankly a showing that, first of all, I think the record supports that finding amply.
Do we defer on questions of law?
I do. You do not defer on questions of law, but
and,
I don't
and
think.
And is it a question of fact or a question of law as to whether the $6,000 paid fits within the definition of a fee?
I think that is a I think that is a factual finding, and I have another.
Choice.
Let me just piggyback on another footnote in my brief where I use the duck analogy. There's two layers of facts. There's basic facts. Does it quack? Does it waddle? Does it swim? Does it have feathers? Those are basic facts. The conclusory fact is it's a duck, but it's still a finding of fact, and I would say that's the same thing with rent. It has these characteristics. It's rent.
Well, because I think you just conceded it isn't merely rental for the use of that office space. And you used the word a licensing fee. and, or you didn't use the word fee. You said it was a license to use the equipment. And so a payment of money for a license to use the equipment might well qualify as a fee, as a matter of law.
The people that were using the equipment were the members of the gym. They were already members of the gym. All the trainers did, to the extent that they used the equipment at all, is they just demonstrated, here's how you do it.
But that, really, why isn't that using it? I understand they're not trying to lose weight with it or get strong with it, but they're using it for their, as a necessary part of their instruction. Without the equipment, they couldn't offer the service they offer.
Well, I guess my point is that to the extent that the equipment's being used, there's already a fee being paid for that, and that's the fee that the member has paid.
And they're using it together at the same time.
So nothing's evading taxation here.
They're paying a fee for access to the customers and for access to assist them in using the equipment.
I agree, and that may explain why the rental is, as he suggested, as high as it is. I mean, what's the old rule on real estate? Location, location, location. I mean, it puts them right there with their market.
And the members of the gym pay an extra fee for the personal trainer.
They do. They contract directly with Custom Built, which is the training company, and all those revenues go directly to Custom Built. There's no revenue sharing.
But I understand your argument's premised on the fact that the director does not claim sales taxes due on the service provided pursuant to the license unless they have an office in the gym. If they don't, if they're just coming in, that license to use the gym to train their clients is not considered a fee paid to or in a place of amusement and is not subject to sales tax.
Well,
it's only because they have the
office. I think it goes to the concept of sale at retail, and it goes to the question that Judge Wilson was asking, which is what service does my client provide to Custom Built as a patron of the gym?
But that, the director seemed to be in their argument make a distinction between providing the exact same service with an office in the gym versus not with an office in the gym, and one is taxable and one is not.
I don't know that I know the answer to that. I think I just have to go back to the only basis that I have is that the court seems to have. It's an overstatement to say the court, because I know that you authored that opinion and you know what you said.
You know more than I recall.
You know what you said better than I do. But the opinion when I read it seemed to recognize that was a distinction, a meaningful distinction, and I'm not here to argue that is not that is otherwise.
Do we have to make a determination that calisthenics is actually entertainment?
You know, I actually thought about that. And my initial reaction, not that it much matters, is that I was somewhat perplexed by it. But appearances notwithstanding, I work out once a week with a personal trainer in a gym. And there are folks that go to the gym and that's what they love to do. You know, so I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that there are people that look that go there and that's their recreation.
So, get a life.
Not to me. It's not recreational to me, but I'm not sure that my opinion matters. But no, I mean, to answer your question, I'm not inviting the court. I think the court can revisit that topic anytime it wants to, but it wasn't an issue in this case. As I pointed out, my client collected the membership fees and paid the sales tax on the membership fees, so it's not an issue before.
Should our focus be on what service your client provides, or what service Custom Built provides, or what was conveyed by the payment of the fee from Powerhouse to Custom Built? Because isn't that the real question? It's not what Custom Built does with it. It's what was purchased with the $6,000.
I think I agree with that. I mean, if we're talking about that it's a taxable service, I don't think it's in dispute that the service that's provided, to the extent that it's subject to the sales tax, has to be a service provided at retail. There has to be some consumption, some end user, some patron that uses that service. And my argument is that Custom Built was an intermediary. I mean, it's the difference between a wholesale and a retail transaction. They got access, perhaps, but it was on a wholesale level where they take that access and they sell their service. And so the proper thing to tax is the end product of that chain of transactions.
Well, that was a commission made a specific finding that Custom was providing a sale at retail.
Well, I think they did. I think that what they didn't say is whether or not it was taxable. But that was a finding that they made. Yes, you're correct.
Any further questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. So why isn't this a lease of real property? We know that there was limited access that Custom had to the facility, didn't have a key to the building, paid $6,000 a month for a small office in Joplin, Missouri, inside a gymnasium. Two other important things that show that this really wasn't a lease of real property. There were two choices that Powerhouse was offered by Custom for payment of this right to come in and sell these personal training services. The first was a set monthly fee of $6,000 a month, or Powerhouse could have shared in a percentage of the personal training income.
Aren't there other types of rental leases based on income?
That's true, Your Honor. But as far
so
as...
So why does that matter?
Well, I think it helps us understand, was this just the mere rental of real estate?
If they didn't pay the $6,000, the Powerhouse would be able to evict them.
Right. I don't know if evict is the right word, because they
or rent in possession. A month-to-month lease would be month-to-month, unless there's an agreement for longer term. They could use 517 and the victim didn't pay $6,000.
Right. But the fact that it was $6,000, the fact that the two choices were $6,000 a month or a set percentage of the personal training fees, if Powerhouse would have had its own personal trainers and would have charged, okay, the members pay a membership fee, but then they would pay a charge on top of that for personal training services.
Could that just be a policy decision that the legislature made?
About?
Whether or not personal trainers pay sales tax as opposed to the owners of the place of recreation.
I guess
you're saying they really intended no difference. I mean, that's your argument, is they intended no difference.
If the place of recreation is making the charge, mm-hmm. it's collecting a fee, it's subject to sales tax. If Powerhouse would have charged additionally or personal training services to its members, it would pay sales tax.
Right, but because they're offering a service at retail to the people who are working out. What service at retail do they offer to the taxpayer?
The right to access the
that's
facility.
That's not a service. That's a right. That's a license. It's a lease. It's whatever. But it's not a service at retail.
And then we go back to the definition of sale at retail is different for sales of tangible personal property than it is for places of entertainment, amusement, or recreation.
The definition doesn't require, it doesn't include what the fee was paid for. Is that right?
It just says any fee.
So it still comes down, because it says any fee, so it doesn't say any fee paid for a service at retail. But the question is, how do we define fee, which is not defined by the statute?
No, it's not defined by the statute.
Why does it even matter? If you're right, why do you argue so hard that it isn't rent? I mean, if you're right, if any money paid is supposed to generate sales tax, why does it matter if it's rent?
You just think of the rampant tax avoidance that would occur. If Powerhouse offers these services and charges for them the personal training and has to pay sales tax, their argument is, well, we'll just contract somebody else to do it and come in, and we'll get $6,000 a month, or we'll collect a percentage as a fee, and we don't have to pay sales tax on it. Then the person that comes in, the independent contractor, they're according to the way revenue operates now, and their argument would be, well, we don't operate a place of recreation, so we don't have to pay tax.
So the question is, though, I think what Judge Fisher was asking, does fee mean the same thing as any money paid? or does fee have some kind of more limited meaning that doesn't cover rental income, but you're arguing covers this type of payment?
This type of payment, because of the facts of this case, and it is charging a fee to provide its members a recreational activity that Powerhouse could itself provide but didn't want to in this particular case. So because of the facts of this case, because it's so intimately related to the recreational purpose of the facility, sales tax, it becomes a fee
But the language of the statute doesn't require that, does it? I mean, the language of the statute is it covers any fee paid to or in a place of amusement or recreation.
It does. It is that broad, Your Honor.
Have any cases other than the Fitness Edge, sort of inferentially or by assumption, addressed whether or not it has to be paid to the facility or it can be paid to, say, we had that case with the video games, and wasn't that paid to a third party? And yet, if it's paid in a place of amusement, does it have to be paid to the facility or can it be paid to a third party?
See, I don't believe there's been a case where these particular facts, the Six Flags case that Your Honor's talking about with the video game inside of Six Flags, the court never reached the issue of that kind of issue. It wasn't raised. That case involved whether, because the full purchase price was paid on the video game when it was purchased by Six Flags or the vendor that put it in there, then what was the subsequent...
Were they selling it again?
Yeah, were they renting it? And the court decided that you rent a video game under that circumstances, so there was no sales tax owed on that particular situation. So that involved that lease, the more specific statute control in that case involved the lease exception. I don't believe we've seen a case exactly like this.
Well, the Department of Revenue would come up with a rule that would distinguish between bowling shoes, golf carts, and video games. That'd be a really great help.
But we're sorting it out as we go along.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you. The matter will be taken as submitted.